a word on jobs, and there's lots to say.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We'll get the monthly job numbers in a few hours, and chances are the Labor Department's report will sound something like this. Job losses are slowing, but the unemployment rate keeps creeping up toward that 10% mark. Thing is, there are a lot of ways to slice that unemployment pie and to measure how many people don't have a job and want one. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to run through some of the complexities here. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
So how is the job loss number related to the unemployment rate?
Well, the government does two separate and different surveys. One of them asks businesses how many jobs they added or cut. These days, of course, it's mostly cut. Then there's a household survey. That one asks people whether they're employed, and if not, if they're looking. That is the unemployment rate. But there's a catch. It only includes people who are actively seeking work, meaning that they tried to find a job in the last 30 days, like they sent out a resume or knocked on some doors. And analyst Heidi Shierholz of the Economic Policy Institute says that leaves a lot of people out.
The main group it doesn't count are people who want a job, are available to work, and have just quit looking. Those people are not counted as officially unemployed. If we have more people giving up, and that's happening during a recession, that's more indication that the slack, the weakness of the labor market, is larger than the unemployment rate alone would indicate.
All right, Mitchell, hit me with it. I mean, how bad is unemployment when you include people who have given up?
Well, economists like to add one more group to get the full picture, and that is people who want full-time work but who can't find it. And when you add them in, you get up to 17%. That number's been creeping up every month.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joining us live this morning. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Ahead of that report, investors have been on a buying spree. Shares in Europe are mostly up right now, mixed for the most part. Asian stocks closed higher across the board, the Hang Seng by more than 1.5%. In Wall Street yesterday, investors were happy after some positive readings on jobless claim benefits and stronger chain store sales reports. The S&P tacked on nearly 2%. The NASDAQ honed in on 2.5%. The Dow busted through 10,000 again, up 203 points yesterday. The House could vote this weekend on its version of a health care overhaul. But Congress being Congress, these reform plans just aren't about health care. They contain a few goodies aimed at helping other constituencies, too, as reporter Joel Rose explains.
This week, lawmakers quietly tacked an amendment onto the health care overhaul bill. It's supposed to prevent the paper industry from taking advantage of a $24 billion loophole in a tax incentive program aimed at helping alternative fuels. The $1.2 trillion House bill contains funding for lots of projects, including some with only a tenuous connection to health care. Dave Leventhal is with the Center for Responsive Politics.
As this legislation has coursed through Congress, there have been hundreds of millions of dollars worth of various items that have been proposed, everything from streetlights to farmers markets and walking paths and various other things that only tangentially may be related to health in some people's opinions.
Supporters say walking paths and farmers markets are related to health because they help prevent obesity and disease. Even if the House votes on its bill this weekend, there's still time to add more amendments. It could be weeks before the Senate votes on its version of the health care bill. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The real estate market here at home is still in the pits, but the story is completely different north of the border. Home sales in Canada are soaring, and prices have reached an all-time high. Reporter Anita Elash has more from Toronto.
Toronto's real estate market is so hot these days that buyers are lining up to get in.
Hello. Hello.
When this real estate agent arrived for an open house to show off a three-bedroom duplex, there were already six people waiting in line. Sisters Rita and Anna Iozzo are willing to spend up to $500,000. Rita says they've been searching for 2 months and still can't find a house they can afford.
we think it's a pretty good chunk of money, and even things in our price range look like fixer-uppers.
Economists say Canada's housing market was never in as much trouble as the U.S. That's because Canada has a conservative banking system. You need a much bigger down payment and higher income to buy a house here, so there weren't a lot of defaults during the recession. But one thing that did happen in Canada during the recession is that mortgage rates dropped to historic lows. They're currently between 2% and 4.5%, and that has potential home buyers lining up. Stéphane Marion is a real estate analyst with the National Bank.
So these are the best conditions in over 30 years for Canadian households that desire to buy a home.
But those falling interest rates are driving up prices. Adam Brown is a real estate agent who was waiting at that downtown Toronto duplex. He says bidding wars are the new normal, and he expects this house will sell way above the asking price of $489.
It's a seller's market, and sometimes sellers are getting greedy in this market.
Economist Stéphane Marion says there's one big risk in all this, that Canadians will buy themselves into a real estate bubble. But he says Canada's economy is showing signs of growth, so he and others expect the Bank of Canada to raise its benchmark interest rate before real estate prices get out of hand. In Toronto, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
And finally, an economist at South Carolina's Clemson University looked at how a female lawyer's name affects her success. Bentley Coffee found the more masculine the name, the more successful the jurist, even making it to a judgeship. The author says he hypothesized a series of equations that show a female named Cameron is nearly 3 times more likely to become a judge than a woman named Sue. A female Bruce, 5 times more likely. The study listed other factors, including the small number of females in law firms in some parts of the country. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.